This is Dr. Sudhir Mohandas from iFirst International. I'm the co-founder and managing director. Today I have with me Mr. Pasupathi, one of the founders of MySkills. It's a pleasure to have you here with us today.
Great, thanks for having me here. Yeah.
So we're going to get straight into the discussions and points forward. And I'd like to ask you a little bit about the background about MySkills. And we'll take it from there. So why don't you just share a little bit?
Okay, I've been working with the Malaysian community for over 30 years, since my first degree days in way back in University of Bangsa, Malaysia in 1983. I've been working with the community and I always have been interested in education. I thought the only education is the only way to take the community to the next level. And while doing this, and then I've been involved in a lot of NGOs. And in the 26, I became the president, the oldest NGO in Malaysia, Education Welfare Research Foundation. While I was managing, like any others who think providing a university education will take the family or for the individual to the next level, then I realized we got a lot of phone calls and inquiries from the parents talking about students who drop out from schools at the age of 13, 14, 15 and nowhere to go. Then I realized my thinking, something seriously wrong with my thinking. So I assumed all the students would go to O levels, some will make it to A levels, to colleges and universities. Well, then I started doing some research and I found out only 5% of the students who are entering standard one make it to public universities. And 20% of the students drop out before reaching O levels.
When was this? You discovered this?
2006, so you say. Then I started changing my mind. I said, I've been wrong all this while, because we have been empowering the good students, above average students, so much that we neglected. This was an assumption we made that everybody, you know, even the students who drop out, if someone making the workforce, we didn't realize there's one category of the 20% of the students who drop out, maybe like we can safely say about 4-5%, that are at risk of becoming or getting involved in criminal activities. Besides this, I became a lawyer in 1991, and for 20 years, I've been doing pro bono cases, doing juvenile criminals, you know, those who are below 16 years old. And normally every year I do 10 cases because I was in the Legal Aid Bureau, and it should be about 5 Indians, 3 Chinese, 2 Malay or something like that, because I just wanted to see how the different communities interact when there's poverty, the dysfunctional families. And after 20 years, I can safely say, it doesn't matter whether it's an Indian, Chinese or Malay, if they come from lower income category, let's say that the household income is less than 2008, they come from dysfunctional families, let's say the parents are separated, and they live in a low-cost area where, you know, like ghettos or squatter areas, chances of them becoming criminal is the same, irrespective of race. So then I realized with this background knowledge, my legal knowledge, and the inquiries I've been receiving, the students dropping out and not getting into places and all that, and also finding out from the police that a high number of these lower income students are in detention centers, prisons and lockups, homes run by the JKM, you know, Jabatan Kebajikan Malaysia, then I realized something need to be done. So what we did, like any other educationist, we picked up these students, we sent them to skills training college. We told them, 14, 15 years. We told the parents we can't pick them up at 13, 14. At 15, 16, we picked them up, sent to privately run skills training colleges, because for the government skills training colleges, you require minimum of 3 passes. Bahasa Malaysia, history and maths or science, you know, 3 passes. That is called Institute Latihan Per Industrial. Government skills training colleges run by Ministry of Human Resources and the Ministry of Youth and Sports. These students, they don't have the academic qualification to enter this institution. So we send them to privately run colleges, which are sanctioned by the Ministry of Human Resources. Then we realize when they go into this institution, they drop out after 2-3 months. Then, you know, there's something fundamentally wrong with these students. So we started analyzing that they come from such a pathetic environment that they don't have self-confidence, self-pride, and they don't have hope in the future. Then we decided
to... So it was beyond the hard skills, so it was more of the
softer skills. Then we realized, we wanted to analyze what is the skills training syllabus all about. they are in modules form. You know. Then it, ours is based on German skills training, on skills training education. And the skills training education in Malaysia and German emphasizes on skills, knowledge and attitude. So then you know, attitude forms a very important component. You know, you can go to German, any big car industry, engineer would wear a blue collar coat, and then you just go to the factory and you'll work, and you won't know whether he's an engineer or he's an ordinary skilled worker. But in Malaysia, it's the other way around. So then we decided that we need to empower the students, transform them, change their mindset, then you provide them the skills. Once their attitude is changed, that there's hope for them, they need to be good citizens, they can earn income in a decent manner, and you provide them the skills, then they look for the knowledge and they will go up in their social strata. So we decided that we need to have a college which emphasizes on attitude transformation. That's how my skill was formed. So it's neat of the day that we formed my skill foundation, which based on value-based skills training. It means 60% of the time we spend on transforming the students to make them realize crime is not the way to earn income. Not the way. You can earn a decent income through skills training, skills knowledge, but you must have the right frame of mind.
And so when you took that journey over the years, you build up to where it is. One of the other things that I'm trying to figure out is, how did you bring a team with you who felt the same way you felt, and so that you can actually form this organization and take it forward?
See, luckily for us, when I was heading Education Welfare Research Foundation, I had a CEO who was highly qualified, then I had volunteers who were thinking like me, and I also had committee members who thought like me that we need to set up an independent organization, a foundation to take care of the students and all that we got to emphasize on transformation. And through the background they come from, then they realize, just simple analysis. Just ask them, where do you come from? Maybe they come from a typical Tamil school. How many friends studied with you? 20 of them. How many of them in university? Only one of them. Why the other students didn't make it to university? So they started doing self-analysis, checking their background and all that. Then they have to come, they have to sync with me. They have to come to an understanding, yes, transformation of mental attitude is the foremost, most important factor in transforming the students so that they can pick up skills training. It means you must create an enabling environment so that these students can pick up skills training. So all of them agreed, and the CEO who was with me was a volunteer who joined from University Putra, Malaysia, way back in 2008, and he has been with me since then. He's a CEO, he's heading. Likewise, all the lecturers, trainers who have been working with me are known to me for past 10, 15 years, who know me, what I was doing and all that, who believe in the course I'm doing, and they're with us. The volunteers have become full-time staff now. Upon retirement from the company or taking BSS, they come in, they want to serve first. So here we see it must be beyond passion. They cannot come in and work in my scale for an employment. They won't last long. I think about 30% of the staff left us after 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, when they realize it's not their calling. It's not just a job where we pay the market rate, but they know that it's beyond. When we had ex-teachers who took option from the government service and came in, they couldn't last more than 4 months.
So that's interesting that you brought that out, about something that's beyond passion. Normally people say you need passion. And you just mentioned that some people come in with thinking that they can be here for the long term, but they're not here for the long term because they suddenly realize that this is not your calling, as you put it. So obviously, you would have gone through some trials and tribulation and learning experience. Can you actually say that is it for them to decide, yes, I'll be here, or is it for you to decide they'll be here?
I think it's for them to decide they must be here. They must decide. Because whatever motivation, whatever empowerment I give, end of the day, they must realize they're dealing with another soul, another human being. And if they find pleasure, they find happiness, and they find bliss, they're blissful that another child is transforming, and they start giving the examples, this student came in and now this student is so much better. If they can come to that extent, then they will stay. If they're going to treat the student like how we treat like a conventional school, discipline, they say, I scold them, I need to discipline them. I think the word discipline we shouldn't use the word discipline. It is, they let them make the mistake, then you got to talk to them. You see, here, the whole process of our working with these students, got to make them think.
So that's a kind of the culture of
culture. You got to make them think. Even the staff's got to be, so it's the board of directors, five of us were active. We, from time to time, we meet with our staff and we tell them not what to think, how to think.
Mm.
So fundamentally, if a student is reacting or responding in such a manner, then we take the case, analyze, then we tell them, okay, this is a situation, how we should respond to that. So for that, they must have a certain baseline, how to think, you know. So even the thinking also is beyond ordinary thinking, you know. They must be able to empathize. Actually, here, the whole thing, end of the day, what we do here is, we are trying to create emotional intelligence, that's all. Nothing more than that. If emotional intelligence level is above average level, they'll fit into any company. Then we got students who were expelled from schools, sacked from school for drinking and all that, then they come in here, then we work with them for 2-3 years, and now the guy is a service technician in one of the big car companies, and got married to a girl, and they're setting up a home. So it is that kind of changes that need to take place. For that, as I mentioned earlier, you must be happy, you know. Now, my father, when I was a boiler man, early morning, he'd be very happy to go to work because he liked the boss, he liked the company, and there was a strike in the company. He refused to leave the company because the boiler is very important aspect of the whole factory. And that kind of the
commitment
they had. So I think the word passion involves commitment, loyalty to the company. So like here, it's a loyalty to the organization. You want to see the community changing. So that's why I use the word beyond passion. Because when you say just passion, it's beyond passion. All these factors are integrated inside.
And so where is my skills moving now? I understand you've got a new place. And besides their current office here in KL. But where is it moving to?
With the previous government was... one of the most important things is to be good to impress upon... You see, like any NGO, we find the community needs something, the society needs something, then we got to market it in a proper manner. So what we did, marketing need to be done both with the private sector and with the government. So we impress upon the government, say, I think we were the first one to introduce the word youth at risk. But of course, this one we got it from US and UK, the established institutions there, we learn from there, and we see the characteristics of our students is similar to them, African-American students in New York or Bronx. So we just compared, and then we started lobbying. We lobbied to the Ministry of Youth and Sports then, Ministry of Human Resources, buy-in, get the buy-in, then the Premises Department, Economic Planning Unit, ICU, then the World Bank came in, they did a survey with us, and they were quite happy that what we are doing is needed for the country. And then the government was convinced and they gave us a grant of 10 million. So we bought a land which cost 5 million, and then we are developing. The development will be complete by the latest, by 30th January, we'll complete a hostel which can accommodate 400 students, a cafeteria, a kitchen which can cater for the students, hostel which can cater for, for 400 students, and then two football fields, a gymnasium, outdoor and indoor gymnasium, and other farming facilities. So 34 acres, you know. So we realize what the students need is space. See, just give you an example, you know, Malaysian housing policy has been for the poor people, 600 square feet for people who are family with 6 to 8, which is not healthy at all. That causes a lot of social problems. Now they're talking about 900 square feet. If you really ask me, it should be 1,200 square feet, three toilets, bathrooms, and then 4 rooms, must be 1,200 square feet. Ideal home. And of course, I don't know why the government is so reluctant to increase the housing, all those fields, so much space and land. So here we have two football fields. So the minute you come into our campus, you see the open space. The students when in my office is in KL City, they come in, they're so reluctant to come because they're not allowed to use handphone and things like that. And,
I saw the photos, they're very impressive. Yeah. Where is the place?
In Kalumpang. So when they come in, they see the space, the first thing that they like is the space. And then they turn back and look and they get the main range. And then there's so much, the environment is so conducive that they tend to. It's very meditative environment, you know. So it's very conducive for the students, you know, students. And and the students do their own farming, and it's a campus where we promote vegetarianism, not because of any spiritual or religious values, because we want the students
healthy as well. Yes.
It's healthy. and it's most of organic vegetables, you know. What we are looking for in XFIBA, we just want to complete the 400 students. We want, the maximum capacity we'll take in about 400 students. We don't want to increase, make it to a bigger college or anything like that. What we're going to do, we want to promote this idea to all the developing countries and every other place in town or any other communities. In fact, we are planning to take it to Sabah Sarawak so that the local Orang Asal community will be able to adopt. Where we can, you know, all you need, we started with a shop house, two shop houses, then moved to an abandoned bus terminal. Now we are here. So we can tell them, all you got to know, just rent two or three shop houses for hostel and this, and then use the local facilities there. But the most important factor is people, the teaching staff, the training staff, who have got the passion to be with the institutions and take it right. We had take it to the next level. So we had visitors from Kenya and we had visitors from India. But quite happy to see what
excellent.
We are doing here.
Excellent. You can be a model place as well.
Yeah, you just create a model place.
Excellent.
And it's so easy to copy. You don't need a rocket science to do that.
Sure.
You know? Just the commitment that you want to see the community changing. You want the community to change. Mm. And then you just gather the right-minded people. And then you just act on it. The
excellent.
Most important thing is act on it.
Excellent.
Not think about it.
Yeah. So with that, Mr. Pathy, I mean, we can continue this conversation. It's really good talking to you. But we'll have to end here, right here. Would you like to share your website and any contact?
Our website is www.myskillsfoundation.org.my. And we've got a Facebook site also. And they can always, and then, Mark, you can always... Sorry.
You can actually, what's your email?
MySkills.
Can you remember MySkills?
Yeah, actually our website is... Sorry.
Go ahead.
Our website is www.myskills.org.my. Our email is myskillsfoundation@yahoo.com.
Excellent. With that, thanks very much, Mr. Pathy. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much, Mr. Pathy, for giving me the opportunity. Thank you.